Now, if you would turn to the third chapter of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel is a fascinating book. Of course, we are all familiar with what happens to Daniel in chapter 6 when he gets chucked into a lion's den and how God wonderfully delivers him. But here in chapter 3, we have these three gentlemen, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Now, I often preach at a small chapel just north of Gatwick Airport at a place called Smallfield. It's a very small chapel. It's about the size of a matchbox. But it's full of vibrant young people. It's an amazing place. And these young people, they meet in the vestry before the service and have their own prayer meeting. Really encouraging to see something like that happening today. But on the way there, on the edge of Crawley, I pass what is called the Apple Tree Centre. Now, the Apple Tree Centre is in fact a Buddhist temple. And the last time I passed it, I noticed that at the entrance they had erected a Buddha, and I would say made out of stone, and I would say it was certainly 20 foot high, probably 3 or 4 feet across. You couldn't miss it as you drove past. And that's what's going on in our country today. Just around the corner is a house that's been bought by some kind of Hindu group. And they have a strange name and they meet there. Then if you go further on into Crawley, there's a big mosque that has been built in Langley Green. It's certainly true to say we are a very diverse society, but we have many religions in this country today. And we need, as Christians, to stand, as I mentioned this morning, to stand up for the truth and not be prepared to compromise at all. Now, we should respect other religions, but we need to stand for the truth of the gospel. So King Nebuchadnezzar makes this image of gold 90 foot high and 9 foot across, and he sets it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then he gathers together all these local officials, the governors and the councillors and the treasurers and the administrators and so on. Gets all these officials together and they willingly come to the dedication of this idolatrous image. Idolatry is a serious thing. Yes, we can have religious idolatry, can't we? People, our Roman Catholic friends will worship the Virgin Mary, which is in error. Mary doesn't require us to worship her. She is an important figure in the Bible. She's described in the Bible as the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is a correct title. But we don't worship her or pray to her. She has obviously an important role in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't worship her. But here, all these people were, all these local officials were so happy to go along with this idolatrous idea of worshipping this golden image. And there are other things today that can become idols if we're not too careful. There may be things that aren't wrong in themselves, but if we overindulge in them, they can become idols. For instance, the government is concerned about the use of social media by young people today. And quite rightly so, because those things can become idols. It could even be our computer can become an idol if we spend too much time at it. Or even our mobile phone, I suppose. Though I say these are good things to have, but if we just spend all day staring at our mobile phone, that can become an idol in itself. So anyway, he sets up this golden image. And then he employs a herald, we see in verse 4. A herald cries out aloud, a bit like a town crier, I suppose. This herald cries aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that when you hear the sound of all these wonderful musical instruments..." It's interesting to see what musical instruments they had in those days. They had the horn. We have horns today. We have flutes today. We have harps today. Lyres, I'm not sure whether we have, but we have a lot of other musical instruments today. And they can be used to the glory of God. My church is very fortunate. We have, I think, 5 people who could play the organ. 5, which is good. So if somebody's away, we don't go without. We always have somebody who can play the music. Though some churches, one of the churches where I go to preach, like next Sunday where I should go, to preach, they have a machine that plays the hymns for you. If you haven't got an organist, it's based on the Mission Praise hymn book, and you just type in the number you want, and it plays the hymn, and you sing along with it. Sometimes the words are slightly different on the machine than in the book, but if we get around that. And so it's good that we can have music in our worship. It was good we had a kind lady come this morning to play the organ or the piano over there. So he said, when you hear all this kind of music, you must bow down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately, notice, not later on, immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. If you're a Christian in some parts of the world today, an ultimatum rather similar to that might be put to you. If you will renounce the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll leave you alone. But if you will not renounce your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will do something nasty to you. You might even suffer martyrdom. You might have your house burnt down, or your church burned down in some parts of the world today. That happens in Nigeria. Simply because people have that choice. Will you worship the image, or will you denounce your faith in the Lord Jesus and do what we say? That's what some Christians face today. So we do need to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. And that persecution is increasing in many parts of the world today. China has, in recent years, increased its persecution of Christian people. Crosses on churches have been removed. In Algeria, churches have been forcibly closed by the government, despite the fact that the Pope went there, I think, a few weeks ago. The authorities have been closing Protestant churches in Algeria. You certainly couldn't be an open believer in North Korea, because if you did, you would probably be shot, and so would all your family probably be shot with you if you believe in the Lord Jesus in North Korea. But there are Christians in North Korea, and there are those who meet secretly and underground in that country. How grateful we should be for the wonderful freedoms that we have in this land. And it ought to be said that the freedom we have today in this country to worship God is due to those who in the past, in this country, laid down their lives and stood for the truth against the false teaching of the Church of Rome. In Sussex, and I have mentioned this before here, but I'll mention it again, 36 people in Sussex were burnt at the stake in 1557, 1558, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't accept that in the Mass, we would call it communion, but they would call it the Mass, the bread and wine turning to the actual body and blood of Christ. That's called the doctrine of transubstantiation. That the bread and the wine at a certain time during the service turns into the actual body and blood of Christ while retaining the appearance of bread and wine. Can you get your head around that? But those people stood up against that at the time during the 16th century. Anne Tree of West Hoathly, which is up near Turner's Hill, was burnt at the stake in East Grinstead High Street because she would not go to a service in Latin, because she didn't understand it. Couldn't understand it, so wouldn't go. So she was put to death for that very fact. So there is persecution of God's people in parts of the world today. How fortunate we must be to live in this country. Whether this freedom will continue, there have been some sort of minor problems when street preachers have been arrested in different places in our country. One street preacher was told he cannot quote from the Bible by the police. This is going on in Britain today. Other pressures are being put on Christians at this particular time. So anyway, this decree has been made that they all had to worship this golden image, but Daniel's friends are not having any of it. They're not going to worship this golden image. And they were threatened with being chucked into this burning, fiery furnace. And so some Jews who had been set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, verse 12, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. And this made Nebuchadnezzar really angry. In rage and fury, we read, he gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. And so Nebuchadnezzar asked them a question, verse 14. Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. What a decision they had to make. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we've no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But notice the next thing, verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. In the case of persecution of Christians today, in many instances, God allows them to be martyred or to be persecuted in various ways. God is sovereign. We perhaps cannot always understand that. But here in verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. So they stood firm. They stood firm, knowing that God may, if it's his will, deliver them. And so, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was normally. That must have been jolly hot. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind the three men and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. And we read that they were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments must have been hot, wearing all that stuff, being thrown into the fiery furnace, and they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. So hot it was that the people who put them in, killed them. Well, they just got their just rewards, just desserts, I guess. Anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 23, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. There was a fourth person in that burning, fiery furnace. Now, was that Jesus? It says here, the fourth is like the Son of God. Was it a theophany, an Old Testament appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, there in the midst of that? Or was it an angel of God? Because further down, it refers to God has sent his angel. Anyway, so this fourth person appears in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar goes near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and speaks to to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and says, come out and come here. And then, amazingly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the fire had no power over them. No power at all. Their hair wasn't singed. Their garments weren't affected. There was no smell of fire upon them. If you have a bonfire in your garden and you get near too close to it, your clothes stink of smoke, don't they? Sometimes you gardeners no doubt will know something like that. But that they came out of this fiery furnace and there was absolutely no smell of smoke upon them. And the whole attitude of Nebuchadnezzar changed. Because of this, the witness of these three men, because they stood firm and they wouldn't bow down to the golden image, we notice that Nebuchadnezzar is changed. In verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. God has sent his angel. What is an angel? An angel is a messenger of God. And angels are active, of course, throughout Scripture. In every aspect of the life of Christ, with the exception of the crucifixion, angels are there. They announced to the shepherds that Jesus had been born at Bethlehem. Angels were present when Jesus rose from the dead and rolled away the stone. Angels were present at the ascension of Jesus. This same Jesus, as you've seen him go into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. That's what the angel said at the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ comes again, angels will be there when he comes again. Do you believe in angels? Belief in angels is not just something for New Age people. It's God's angels are there. The Bible says sometimes we have them in unaware. We are unaware of angels that are there. A friend of mine once was, this was in the time winters when we actually had snow. We don't have snow much these days. This gentleman I knew, he was up at Leith Hill in the Surrey Hills in his car, and there was a sudden snowstorm, and lots of snow came down there, and all the roads looked difficult, and they weren't quite sure where they were. They looked lost. And so this man came along, and they asked him, which is the way down? And the man pointed them in a certain direction. And they said, thank you. And as they looked around, the man disappeared, completely vanished. Was that an angel of God. Billy Graham, in his book Angels, God's Secret Ages, describes how some missionaries in the New Hebrides surrounded a missionary's house with intent of burning them out of their house. But they suddenly fled in terror because around that house they saw loads of soldiers with swords. They were angels of God. So angels are important in Scripture. We don't pray to angels, we don't worship them, but they can help us. Perhaps they help us when we don't realise it sometimes. We can pray for their protection, that they may grant us safety and so on. Read the 91st Psalm when you get home. So, Nebuchadnezzar is a changed character at the end of this story. Verse 29, I make a decree that any people, nation or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap. Well, that, you might think, well, that's a bit too much, but that's what he said. And then in the end, they promote Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So the three gentlemen are promoted at the end of the chapter 3 because they stood firm. Now, in these days in which we live, are we standing firm for the gospel? Are we standing firm for the truth of the gospel? As I said this morning, there are those who will say there are many ways to God today. There isn't. There's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The only way to heaven is through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So let's not be pressurised. Let's not be deceived, as we were thinking of deception this morning. Let's not be deceived into believing all sorts of things that are popular today, even in Christian circles. Let's stand firm for the truth of the gospel, and let's not bow down to the false gods that are all around us today. Let's just pray for a moment.